You're listening to The Pulse on University Radio Nottingham.
Welcome to the Friday Pulse. We are now in the summer term, so I thought I'd do a quick reminder of what exactly this show is. You're here with Cora and my co-host Connor, and we are joined by a full studio today for our news show, followed by some opinions. So, my panel today are, over in the corner is Kit.
Hello.
Then we have Daniel.
Hello.
And we have Mark.
Hello.
And we have Head of News, Ben Meller, in the room, but he's not going to say hello because he's not near a mic. Anyways, today is a very special show as we are in the midst of local elections. So we're going to start off by jumping over to Connor, who is going to give us a bit of national local election news.
So the results are coming in slowly throughout the rest of today. And we have seen quite a shocking turnover in terms of some of the elections. We've seen a strong coming in from both Labour and the Liberal Democrats, with 7 new Lib Dem councils, 15 Labour, and over 20 currently new hung councils, with even a new independent council in the North East. This shows, I think, you know, a massive change in terms of how people are voting. We've seen a gain of 351 Labour councillors, a gain of 235 Liberal Democrats, but a loss of 666 Conservative councillors. This is showing, you know, I think an important way of how people are reacting to the recent political events is obviously being quite a strong litmus test for the Conservatives to see how they've been going. And, you know, they are losing a lot of the battleground elections that they've been looking for.
Meanwhile, more locally in Nottingham, the counting of votes has begun, and people in many areas of Nottinghamshire are waiting to see who their local councillors will be for the next 4 years. So counts for Ashfield and Bassetlaw took place overnight, with Ashfield Independents maintaining control of Ashfield District Council, with controversial councillor Tom Hollis being the victory that officially took the party over the majority line. They also gained one seat in Hucknall West and one Kingsway. In Bassetlaw, Labour increased their majority by one seat. Counts at Nottingham City Council, Gledling Borough Council, Broxton Borough Council, Mansfield District Council, Rushcliffe Borough Council, and Newark and Sherwood are taking place today. So the results are coming in from across the country and the county, and more than 8,000 seats are being contested at 230 councils in England. We are now going to move on to our opinion side of this. And my first question for everyone here is, did you guys vote?
Yes. Just about in the nick of time after our radio AGM.
Women died for my right to vote. Of course I did. Ran down to Broxton Free Church or something. Beeston Free Church, which was the most random location I've ever been.
I was voting for the second time. This time I wasn't able to nominate my Lib Dem candidate like I did last year. But I went less long-winded route. I just went 2 floors down to Studio Live, cast my vote, came back up and enjoyed some strawberries. It was good.
Lovely.
I'm still registered to vote in my hometown, Newcastle, so I postal voted over there, not Nottingham. I know I was meant to switch when I started uni this year, but I did not. But I did vote, yes, in time.
So, controversially and stupidly, I did not vote. I did want to vote, I would just like to clarify to everyone in this room, but I registered in my hometown and forgot to do it as a postal vote, so I could not get back home to Warwick last night as we had our very important AGM, and I'm also a student and broke, so I can't do that. So I'm a very shameful person today, and we all should be shunning me as a result, but I am proud of everyone else in this room because you all voted.
I think it's worth mentioning. I think a lot of people do know this, but if you're a student, you can be registered in two places. So you can be officially registered to vote both where you go to university and at home. Obviously, you're only allowed to actually vote in one place, but you can be registered, I believe, because I am registered in both.
You can, in general elections, you can only vote once. However, in also in referendums, however, in local elections, you can vote in both places that you're registered in, which is quite cool.
Yeah,
but
perfect.
I only voted here because, well, I missed a deadline for postal and proxy voting in Coventry.
I mean, interestingly, I live about 20 minutes away, so I am registered both in my hometown, which is the lovely Amber Valley Borough Council, and I'm also registered in Nottingham City Council, both of which I registered for in-person voting. So I had a very, very busy Thursday scuttling around to make sure that I got both my votes in.
The Ben Mellor voting tour.
I mean, I also missed the deadline to vote by proxy, which is surprising because both of the constituencies I consider, you know, near me, I come from sort of rural Cotswolds, sort of prime conservative areas, and what I've seen is that both of Stratford-upon-Avon, which is where I went to school, it's the nearest town to me, and the Cotswolds, where I live, which are both stereotypically very conservative in nature, have flipped to Liberal Democrat, which was shocking to me. Perhaps, you know, it belies a closer sort of race than I had expected, and part of me does regret to an extent not trying to make my voice heard there, because if a strong seat was overturned, perhaps it could have gone many different ways.
Yeah, I mean, you raise some interesting ones about them both turning Liberal Democrat. I mean, also another big one today has been the gain of Stratford-upon-Avon, I think, amongst some other ones. And in true kind of, you know, as the registered Liberal Democrat in the room, it makes me quite happy to see yet another brilliant Lib Dem photo op. You know, we've seen the blue wall and the comically undersized hammer. We've seen the popping of the Boris bubble. And the massive comical door for showing Boris the door. And this time, it's a massive clock that says that Rishi's time is ticking away. So, it makes, you know, patriotic for my beloved Liberal Democrats.
Yeah, and I think that actually raises another valid question, which is, there were a lot of big expectations going into these local elections. They were obviously going to be seen as a referendum for how Rishi Sunak and Keir Starmer were polling, and Starmer's been polling very high recently. So I think what I'd be interested to know what all of you think is, do you think these results have been exactly what was expected of Starmer? Was this exactly the sweep that Labour was hoping for, or was this more of just a expression of distaste that people had towards the current Conservative government, which is pretty typical in any set of local elections, which is between general elections?
I mean, you do raise an interesting point. You know, the perspective on local elections for any given voter is different to a general election. You know, in a general election, we only get to vote in one person. We don't get to choose two councillors. We don't get, you know, we don't get necessarily the choice, because of the first past the post system that we have, you know, to have perhaps a smaller party preference. It causes the issues of, you know, tactical voting, which local elections don't. You know, we would never see an independent MP realistically elected because they aren't necessarily going to be able to get anything done. The only time we commonly see independent MPs is just MPs from parties who have had their whips removed and so are effectively kicked out, you know, whereas in the local elections we've seen, you know, strong independent movements, both you know, the continual of Ashfield, but also the gain of you know, the independence in, I believe it is Boston. You know, we've seen a drastic shift in sort of how voting is, and I think, you know, it's important to remember that the voting tactics people have for local elections are still different from general elections.
So what should Keir Starmer and Rishi Sunak take from these results then?
I think, you know, Keir Starmer, this is good for him. You know, it shows that people are more willing to go Labour. You know, because again, we're looking at overall changes. We've seen over 20 new Labour councils formed. You know, we're seeing more, you know, hung councillors as well, which, you know, can come from Labour, but also have also been coming from the Conservatives. I think Keir Starmer should be very happy with the result. We've seen a lot of Labour swing. But equally, it's not the end for Rishi Sunak. You know, he still has, you know, what is it, 18 months or so to go before the general election. He has time to get things smoothed over to, you know, enact popular sort of policies. You know, we are seeing, you know, a lot of big events going on at the moment. We're seeing the coronation, which is intended to be a unifying moment for the entire country. Whether it will be or not is obviously a different question, but that's how it's intended to be. And I think, you know, Rishi Sunak still has time. That is my point, is he still has time to, you know, mend the reputation of the Conservative Party and sort of win back those areas that perhaps he has lost and could, you know, see more issues with in the general election. But it is important to remember that, you know, general elections tend to go one of two ways for voting. Not entirely, but, you know, the Conservatives, we have a 2+ party system by and large in this country. So it's more about rebuilding and reinforcing the relationships he has with those areas that have shown a bit more hesitancy to vote Conservative this time round.
I think you make a really, I think your main point about Rishi Sunak having time, I think that's actually the most salient point, because I think whilst obviously Labour have made a really positive, a really strong showing today, which is great news for me and people of my persuasion, but I think they cannot just rely on the fallout from all of the kind of chaos that's been going on with the Tories recently. Like you say, 18 months is a long time. I think one thing that's been noticeable with the way Rishi Sunak has been kind of behaving recently is we don't actually see a lot of him kind of out. No, like, obviously he is out and about and he is doing things, but I think he's been much less of a kind of prominent figure, like a personal figure. And I think that is probably going to be his strategy moving forward, is to try and reduce the kind of the kind of anti-Tory sentiment that people had associated with specific figures like Boris Johnson or like Liz Truss, etc. So I think personally, obviously the Labour Party can take heart from these results, and I think the Tories do have quite the battle ahead, but I think if Labour want to continue to be relevant and to maintain this kind of these votes and this goodwill that they have, they need to start pushing. I think they need to start pushing forward some actual Labour policies, because at the minute a lot of what they're doing is quite reactionary, and I think they really need to start carving out kind of a bit more of an identity in what they're wanting to do to make sure that when it comes to the general election, they've actually got something that isn't just "we're not the Tories."
I mean, you mentioned, you know, Rishi Sunak being out and about. I don't think it's necessarily fair to compare him to Boris Johnson. You know, Mr. loves the spotlight, Mr. You know, he's still out and about being, you know, politically active. He was, you know, very, very vocal when they were trying to bring in the Windsor protocols. You know, he was making all sorts of comments trying to get back into the limelight. It's also not really fair to compare him to Liz Truss, considering, you know, during her tenure, a lot of what we saw of her was either her inauguration or her resignation. So she perhaps did have a lot of time out and about, but that was only because her tenure was so short. I think you're right, Rishi has perhaps been a bit more lacking, but he, you know, again, still has the time to get out there, to reinforce and, you know, focus on trying to achieve what he wants to achieve.
I'm just going to jump in here and offer an alternative point of view. I feel like the results are obviously swaying more in Labour's favour because of all of the discontent that the public is feeling towards the Conservatives. Obviously, we have all of the drama from previous prime ministers, and as Connor has just aptly said, we can't really compare them because of the vast differences between each of their kind of time in power. But I do feel that Labour needs to prove that the public is putting their trust in the right people. I'm not entirely sure that Labour has earned that trust in the first place, and I think it potentially is more because who else is going to be able to compete with the level of the Conservatives? No one else is going to really be able to take the reins of the UK political scene. It's very much every year, general elections, local election, it's usually a competition between Conservatives and Labour. And a lot of time, I don't know if you guys have ever heard this or not, but when people say like, oh, if you voted for Green Party, you basically may as well have just spoiled your ballot. And I think it is a shame that people can't vote for the people they would want to actually vote for, and it's more turned into who's the bigger fish in the small pond. What do you guys think about that?
I think you raised a really interesting point there, especially about the Starmer proving his trust, that sort of thing. I think that sort of relates to what I think a lot of conservative reactions have been to these results. Obviously, I think there's a general disappointment, but I don't think that their attitude is that the horse has bolted, right? I think we're seeing a lot of comparisons to like the local elections before Blair's being elected to Prime Minister in 1996, or Cameron's election in the local elections in 2009 before David Cameron was obviously elected. And they're saying that these results aren't really as impressive as the landslides that were seen in previous cases. So I think in that sense, maybe Starmer has not really proved his trust to the electorate yet, and maybe this is actually a bit of a disappointment for him as well, and it's a sort of reminder that he still has a lot of sort of ground to make up, and that the next election isn't necessarily in the bag for him.
I agree. One thing I would just like to give a shout out to is my kind of home ward back in East Devon. Actually, it ended up no overall control, but the most popular party, quote unquote, were independent candidates. I think something like 19 independent councillors have been elected, which is very cool. And I think, Cora, like you were saying, obviously in the general election, it can very much feel like it's a two-horse race, but it's nice to see people back in Devon exercising their democratic right across a broad range of candidates that will hopefully be kind of putting in policies that really mean something on a local level to those individual people. So that's been cool to see.
I love Devon just from hearing that. That sounds like
that's the kind of Devon.
Yeah, that's, you know, I go there on holiday. It's nice enough.
Nice enough.
Yeah. It's nice enough, you know, and I do like the fact that they feel that they can vote for who they want. They're not just in a, I'm going to change it to two fish race, because that's the metaphor I'm going for today. And that's the kind of thing I would like to see in the future going forward, where constituencies can feel like they can vote for who they want and still have their voices heard. And on the topic of local areas, I'm going to bring our conversation in back to Nottingham itself. So just to give you guys an idea of what the kind of political climate of these elections were in Nottingham, Labour went into the election with a strong majority of 50 members on Nottingham City Council, compared to 3 currently held by the Nottingham Independents and 2 held by the Conservatives. Labour were the only party with a candidate for each of the 55 council seats available. The Conservatives have 41 candidates. The Nottingham Independents have 28, and the Liberal Democrats have 20. Those with a smaller number of candidates include the Green Party with 17, UKIP with 2, the Trade Union and Socialist Coalition with 1, and 3 independent candidates. So what are your thoughts on the local election? Was voting a difficult choice for you guys? I don't want us to share who we did vote for, but just kind of get an idea of your experience and what you think the results will end up looking like after today.
I mean, my experience with this sort of local election was actually the amount of sort of leafleting going on for me has been very minimal. Like on my ballot, there were representatives from Labour, representatives from the Green Party, representatives from Conservatives, and representatives from the Liberal Democrats. I received no leafleting, no information on the Conservative from the Conservatives, nor from the Green Party. The current councillors in my area are both Liberal Democrats. They have been pretty good at being accountable. They've been pretty good at you know, sending out leaflets saying, "Hey, this is what we're trying to do. This is where you can contact us." It is interesting because I believe they are husband and wife. So whether or not, you know, one of them will be going into work, because I was looking on the Broxtow Council website trying to find, because obviously Broxtow as a whole is Labour now, they haven't specified the specific breakdown of each ward. I would be curious more so, you know, how has my local area changed? Because, you know, there were six candidates and we only knew enough information about half of them.
I would actually say, I think you and I are certainly in the same council. I don't know if we're in the same ward. Mm. I received nothing. I had no contact from any of the candidates. I never saw them about. I never got any leaflets. I mean, it's entirely possible that one of my housemates got a leaflet and just binned it. But I had zero interaction with them. And that, I think you raise a good point, because I think that is still quite disappointing. Like we were saying, you know, this is a local election. This is the time to really engage with the local voting population. And it's much easier to do it in these kind of small, like, discrete wards. And it was a shame not to have anything from anyone. Now, you know, for me personally, I don't think it would have changed who I was going to vote for. And perhaps they've realised that maybe for a lot of people it doesn't. Maybe they thought our ward was particularly safe. I don't know. But it is a shame, I think, looking back on it, that there wasn't more engagement.
I agree. And just to jump on the bandwagon, I too did not receive any leaflets whatsoever.
Nice.
The only thing I received was at home in Newcastle, one letter from Labour, incidentally. And it is a very safe Labour seat. So I guess it's interesting to see the different levels of dedication, how in what is like always been a stronghold, safe seat, the candidates are still quite interested in, you know, maintaining that sort of level of support. Whereas over here, in what's even like a more contested area, there's apparently
because Broxtow sort of didn't have it was no overall control previously, so it was obviously somewhere where there was room for competition.
And in the sort of very similarly drawn like constituency for Broxtow, it's a Conservative MP with quite a slim majority, so it's been quite a divided area for a long time. And I would have thought that there would have been more campaigning, but yeah, it has been disappointing not to see that.
I agree.
So I think we have established that we're all kind of in the same area. I did not have any leafletling other than Labour, who were jamming a leaflet into my post box every day.
Every day.
To the point, to the point where they blocked the letterbox. And I did not realise it was blocked until I had a bills letter hanging out of it on the front door. So anyone could have got that and read it. So I think thanks, Labour.
Someone was feeling lazy and gave you all of our leaflets.
All of us have gone.
Yeah, my street. It is always my street. Everyone's there. And yesterday, I actually saw the people going around canvassing as well. They had little clipboards. They were in proper red outfits and everything. They looked at me, so I pretended to be having a phone call.
It feels a very first job paper round, you know, go and chuck all the newspapers in a ditch somewhere.
No. This was.
Or was this?
This was older people. Older than us students, as in mature people.
I'm not necessarily saying it was young people doing the leafleting.
It's their first paper round, though.
Yeah, I'm saying it's got the same energy as someone who's just got their first paper round and decides to, you know, not do any of the work,
they
just dump the papers somewhere and yeah, just go off and take the money.
But my house is in the middle of the street, and it's like they chose to bully me. And that it's even more of a shame that I was very stupid and didn't properly register with a fully clear mind, so I could have voted. So they wasted all their leaflets on me, pretty much.
Maybe they, like, I think because there is like a public list of who's registered, maybe they do target houses based on whether or not they're registered. Because the one letter I received was addressed to me personally, so it was clear.
That's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was clearly taken off the public list.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like they potentially, just to make sure that the canvassing is going well and that information is being shared, all candidates from all parties should be working 9 till 5 to get the leaflets out. And on that note, we're going to a break listening to Dolly Parton's 9 to 5.
You're listening to The Pulse on University Radio Nottingham.